Welcome to the R7 Christian Marketing Podcast, sponsored by Emma's Good.
R7 is an innovative, God-inspiring process that explores personal and professional purpose. R7 analyzes 7 strategies to transform your vision and find direction in your organizational marketing. R7 establishes clarity and guidance for the gift we call life. This is my destiny.
Welcome back to the podcast, man. Just feel so blessed to have such awesome guests. Today I have on Gabe Cox. She's a wife, a mom, a runner, a Jesus lover. And did I get this right? You qualified for the Boston Marathon?
I did. Yes, actually twice.
Twice. Oh my gosh. Tell us about that. That's incredible.
Yeah, it was actually, so when I got into motherhood, I actually hated running in high school. But in college, it became kind of a peaceful time because I was an athlete forever and I needed something to do, like something to fulfill that. I wasn't good enough to be a D1 athlete. So I started running and found a love for it. And once I had kids, I was kind of like, I want a goal for myself again. I want to do something that's hard. And so as a runner, I thought, well, let's try a marathon. So I finished my first marathon. Yeah. And I thought, well, what's more? What else could I do? You know? And of course, I felt terrible the day. It's like having a baby. It's hard. It happens. And the day after, you're like, maybe I could do that again. And you're like, I'm never doing this again. And then it's kind of like that with a marathon. So I thought, well, the Boston Marathon is kind of one of the prestigious races in the world.
Yeah.
And it's a way to really feel elite, like a regular athlete, but among all the elites. And so I said, why not? And that's kind of what brought me into that goal. And the reason for that goal was because I just wanted to see if I could do hard things again. I was a goal setter, a goal taker. I finished a lot of what I started, but then life happened. I started my adulthood journey. I had kids. So a lot of that focus kind of went away. And yeah, that's it. That was why. And it was hard. So just so the audience can hear, wow. It's not like I was close. I wasn't a couple minutes away from qualifying. My first marathon was like a 4-hour and 20-minute marathon. And to qualify for the Boston Marathon and actually get to run, I had to run 3 hours and 30 minutes. So it was almost an hour difference. Yeah.
Wow. Like, let's talk about that some more. What did you do to shave off almost an hour? That's crazy. Right?
Yeah. So almost an hour in a marathon is about 2 minutes per mile. So I'm just going to put that out there, right? That's a lot in the running world. Seconds is a lot. Milliseconds is a lot. You can win a race in milliseconds. And so when I had that goal, I was like, go big or go home. But how do I do this? So the first time I trained for the Boston Marathon to try and qualify, I did everything the exact same as with my first race. And guess where I ended up? I think I shaved about 5 minutes off. I think I was at a 4-hour and 15-minute.
Oh no.
Right. And so I was like, well, that didn't work. What do I do? And so for the second time I tried to qualify, I thought, well, I need a coach. So I added a coach to the mix, right? And I worked alongside a group and we did intervals. So I started interval training, speed training, hill training, some lifting. So I started incorporating some of that to be more intentional. And that third marathon, so the second time I tried to qualify, I think I hit a 3-hour and 45-minute. So that, I mean, I dropped my time by almost a half hour. It might've been 50 minutes, but I dropped it by 25 or 30 minutes. So I was like, whoa, something worked, right?
Yeah.
But I still wasn't very close. I still needed another, 20 minutes to drop. And so the third time I tried to qualify, my fourth marathon, I did the coaching still. I had a coach. I was very strategic, started eating a little better. And then the other thing that I did that was different was I included mental training. So racing is tough. Like, it's totally a mental thing because you can go, you can get 3 miles in and then it's a mental game the last 23 miles. Or a lot of times they say you hit the wall around 20 miles. You have a wall, and that's because you've pushed your body to what it thinks is its max. And so you're tired and you're exhausted and you don't want to do it anymore. And you don't think you can do it anymore. Now that mental battle starts raging in your mind and you need to know how to overcome it. You are in pain. The weather might not be cooperating. There's a lot of things that can be a part of that. So I incorporated that. I had learned a lot of success principles along the way. And, you know, I've been mentally tough in a lot of different things. So I thought, let's add that into the running. And that was what made the biggest difference. And I even like to the, my goal, I took all the way down to every time I run, I'm going to see 3:30 on the clock. So 3 hours and 30 minutes. I'm going to visualize that at the end of my training run and just keep believing that's where I'm going to get to, mentally going just a little bit further than I want to every training race, just to get my body ready for it. And at the finish line of the fourth marathon that I ran, I literally hit 3 hours and 30 minutes.
Come on.
06. So 6 seconds over. So of course a runner's like, I could have done sub 30, right, you know, right. But it's fine. But I literally saw that. And I was like, I envisioned that for the whole 16 weeks of my training. I didn't doubt that was going to happen. And that was the mental training that I had to do in order to qualify for that first marathon, or the first
from the Boston. From the time you had the vision to the time you actually qualified, what are we talking about here? A couple years?
So let's see, it would have been 20. I don't even remember. My first marathon, I think, was like 2013. I qualified in 20. I ran it in 2016. It might've been 2012. So it was like 3 or 4 years.
Three or four years. That's incredible resilience. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. That's really cool. There's a lot to unpack there. So this is interesting because I don't really talk a whole lot about this on my podcast, but 2 Decembers ago, I turned Dr. Dave. And so December 24, and my doctorate's in sport and performance psychology. And so like this journey, I mean, that was resilience in itself. It took me 13 years to power through and get the doctor. But I work with a lot of athletes and a lot of executives now on mental toughness training. Mm. And I define mental toughness is playing at the upper ranges of your ability consistently under pressure in the biggest moments. And so we unpack that basically and really kind of put the mental blocks, mental toughness tools. I look at things that like, you know, anxiety, stress is something you manage, you don't ever eliminate. And so this is what happens in our performance and our mindset is that we have certain toxic motivators that are always around us. And I've identified 4 of the big ones, fear, lust, anger, and pride. Mm-hmm. And so how do we manage those in the peaks and valleys? It's not a matter how we eliminate them, it's how we manage them. And so we know they're coming. You know, 2 hours in a marathon is coming. What are you going to do when you hit that wall? And so to be able to break through it, that visualization exercise is awesome, Gabe. That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
And especially, you know,
Yeah, I was going to say one other thing I did with that, with the visualization, an iPod. I had an iPod at the time.
Okay.
Talk about old. my playlist was 3 hours and 30 minutes long.
Perfect.
So if I went over that, I didn't have music.
Wow. That's awesome. What do you think is the biggest thing you had to overcome in that journey?
Myself, I think, just really knowing that, because I always say we all have a limitation. I've heard that said before and I was like, what if we work within our limitations, which I think is good. But I think we don't realize that our limitation is actually quite higher than what we think we can do.
Mm.
So we have limits, but there's so much more we can do, right? Like, so I had to really believe in myself in that I can do the hard thing, and that mile that feels really painful, it's going to be okay. Like, when I hit that finish line, it'll feel so much better than if I didn't, if I quit. Mm-hmm. And so having to fight those battles of, is this worth it? Fight the battle of, what do I really get in the end of this? What is it? You know, right? And so, and like a lot of people would say, well, that goal's not that big of a deal. Like, what does it do? It doesn't really make that big of an impact on anyone other than maybe you. But for me, it was, if I can finish this, I know I can do something else. I know I can do the next thing I'm being called to. And so it was really a training ground. So I think I needed to overcome when that hurdle comes, what am I going to do? Am I going to walk away? Because sometimes I'd quit. Like in the past, I would quit. I'd be like, it's too hard. I don't care. I don't care that much. And I had to come up with a deep rooted why for it to matter, for me to actually go out and do that training, because I was missing family time. Most of the time my training was early morning, but my long runs on the weekend were family time that I could have had, you know? And so I had to say no to sleep, or I had to say no to going to the park with my kid so that I could do this training. So I had to make it worth it for me to do that. And I think sometimes we just have that fluffy why. It's the everyone wants to hear why, but it's not the why that's going to get you out the door to actually put in that training and to do the thing. And I think those are the couple things I really did have to overcome. I had to have that big why, and then I had to overcome those excuses. When my body said no, I had to be okay with saying yes. Now there's a difference between, which you probably know with sports psychology and everything, is that, pain, you know, tough is good. Some pain is not. So we have to be willing to listen to our bodies. As a runner, I don't normally listen and I run through it. So I had to be good at, okay, I need some rest time. I need some of this, right? So it was a hard balance.
What do you think is the deep-seated why?
So for me, the deep-seated why was, it was the hard thing. It was like, if I do this, then I can do something else. And one of the things that I've really wanted to do my whole life, like since I was probably five, was write books. I've wanted to be an author, and something had kept me from doing it for so long. Like I thought I would have a book published by the time I graduated high school. And when I was running the marathon, when I qualified for the first time, I must have been, I don't even know how old I was. Gosh, 10, well, I was early 30s. So I hadn't gotten my book published by then. And so I thought, well, if I can run a marathon, if I can do this, I can write a book. Right. Yeah. So that was kind of a deep-seated why. And the other why that is that I had kids. At the time, I think the first time I tried was I had two kids, and then I had three boys by the time I qualified. But I wanted them to see what it means to win. I wanted them to understand how to go after a goal, how to really go after a goal, but from me. I don't want them to have to learn from another athlete or an entertainer or whatnot. I wanted to be their mentor. I wanted them to look up to me and go, yep, I'm going to do that. And you know what's really cool? So I think that was my deep-rooted why. But my oldest, he's an elite gymnast. And gosh, he's had to overcome so many battles. But man, his mental toughness and his drive, I have to say I have had a piece in that. Like if I would have been the mom who was like, I don't know, goals are good. You know, achieve your dream, do the thing, but I wasn't willing to put myself out there. Maybe he wouldn't be the way he is. I don't know. He might be. He's just driven anyway. But it's super cool to see that resilience, to see him being able to set that goal and go after it, because he has Olympic goals, right? And so that was one of my main drivers, was really being kind of the mentor or being the role model for my boys, whatever they would take from it, you know?
Praise God you did that. That's in them for sure. Mm-hmm. So when we think about, you know, getting into the fire for refinement with you, what does that mean? I saw that. Like, oh, I want to unpack this a little bit.
Yeah. So my
business, part of it, the journey, like, you know, kind totally. Of, yeah, I figured.
Yeah. Yeah, my business is called Red Hot Mindset. One, I have red hair. So if you're watching on video,
it's a great name.
You can see my red hair. It's not gray yet. So, But the other is stepping into the fire of refinement. What that means is that we're willing to go through the hard. We're willing to allow God to mold and shape us into the person that can fulfill the calling he has on our lives. Because life was never meant to be easy. I mean, I do wish for easy sometimes. But I remember my pastor was saying just the other day, we were made to go from challenge to challenge. And I'm like, oh, that doesn't sound very good, right? It's true, because he's refining us. We're slowly shaving the onion layers off to be who he created us to be. So it's there inside us, but he is just unlayering it. And it kind of takes pain. It takes challenge to do that. So being willing to step into the fire is to get out of our comfort zone. is to not be where it's comfortable, because it would have been just comfortable for me to run 3 miles casually. It would have been comfortable to say I was going to write a book, but never do it. Right. And so it was, it's that stepping into the fire, letting God work on you.
You know, at M is Good, we do a lot of messaging, work with a lot of visionaries, probably similar to you. And I'm always having the back of my mind of this psychology that I learned through my doctorate of the two tenets of a human being. And they are the pursuit of pleasure and the avoidance of pain. And I think about that and I go, okay, now that's the world. So going through these challenges, stretching my mindset, creating new neural pathways, you know, having injury, like soreness all over my body. I'm sure you've experienced that, you know, and going, this is worth it. You know, and so when you say that, you know, willing to go through hard, like what, like if I were a client and saying, okay, I want to step into this, what do you think that I would have to be willing to go through in order to get to the other side? What do you think that is?
Yeah. Well, I think it's different for everyone because each person's hard is different. Some people, you know, they can do a lot of things, or high pain tolerance. I'm a redhead. I have a high pain tolerance. So I ran through pain. I qualified for the Boston Marathon with IT band injuries and plantar fasciitis on both feet. So like, I know pain and I can tolerate it. But what I don't like, what I used to not like, I've gotten a lot better, but I didn't like it when people questioned what I did, right? Mm. Like that's hard sometimes, because it's like, well, why are you doing what you're doing? You know, why do you have so much discipline?
Don't run, don't train. You have plantar fasciitis on both feet. Why would you like take it? You've done enough, girl, right?
Yeah. But go hang out with your kids. Go do this, right? So it's like, there's going to be people in our lives that don't understand our goals. That's one hard. That's a challenge. Now there's other challenges. There's physical challenges. There's mental challenges. Financial challenges. If let's say I work with a lot of entrepreneurs. So starting businesses. Yes. The great thing about online is it's pretty budget friendly. You don't have to start with a lot of overhead, but there is an investment. There's a time investment. There is financial investment. And there's still that question of, will it work for me? And so that's a hard for people. Will it work for me? And so when I'm working with a client, I help them with that deep-rooted why right away. And then we do talk through what are some of the things that you think will come. Like we try and plan a little on that. Like, what do you think is going to be a challenge for you? Will it be a challenge if you get pushback from your family or your friends? And what are you going to do then if you get the pushback? What's going to happen in that season? So we'll kind of look at those pieces and then kind of have that, not plan B, but okay, so this is happening. I know I'm going to do this about it.
Yeah.
And we can't really plan for, I always say have that flexibility in our plan because we never know what the little bump is going to be, but are you willing to, is your why deep enough that you're willing to figure out how to either go over it, go around it, go through it.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I've always looked at the deep-seated why of, you know, what's the destiny? You know, and I've learned over the years that the destiny isn't a destination, it's a journey. And so as we're on this journey together, you know, it's, I want to glorify the Lord with my talents and my abilities. That's my why. I have this image of, you know, when I die and go to heaven. Somebody told me this once, but it just resonates with me almost every day. When you go to the Lord and he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant, right? Hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have this idea that there's two people standing there. One is the person he created you to be. And that other person is the person who you are. When what's the delta between the two?
Mm-hmm.
And so like, you don't want the delta to be a big delta, right? Like you want to go, okay, this is what he created me to be. And I want to take my talents and my abilities and use them to glorify him in the peaks and the valleys. That's my deep-seated why. And so I think about that, like, all right, I'm going to miss this birthday. I'm going to miss this date night. You know, I'm going to miss this, you know, whatever it is that I have to sacrifice, which is a boundary, right? I want to talk about that next, is the boundary. I think setting clear boundaries and planning to win, like, that's my slogan, playing. In fact, that's the name of my next book, Playing to Win.
Love it.
And so, yeah, so it's like, okay, we're planning to win. And so we're saying this is what's going to happen, you know, and it's definitely going to change. And what is that scenario that could change that's going to get in my way? That's why I've identified these toxic motivators, fear, lust, anger, pride, because is my fear going to get in the way? Is my lust for people, power, and possessions going to get in the way? Right? Is my anger, like, what is it that's going to get in my, what is that opposition that I'm going to face? And if I know that ahead of time, I can kind of deal with it better. You know, it's not going to eliminate it, but I can deal with it a little bit better and understand it and push through it. Because everybody, that's what I love about, you know, following the Lord, is everybody's on a peak and valley at some point. You know, it's not awesome all the time. It's just not how it works. You're going to go through, and who's going to go through that with you? So when you said I hired a coach, I was like, okay, now she's getting on the right track, because you just can't do it by yourself. There would be no way, right, that you could have done that journey by yourself. You needed somebody there to help you.
Well, and here's what's funny. At that point, I was a run coach. So okay. I coach others in their running. So I'm certified run coach. I've been there, done that, know how to do it. So a lot of people will be like, why would you hire a running coach?
Right. I think it's me.
I was like, I don't know what happened.
I think it's me. I think my internet's weak for some reason.
Oh, that's okay.
It's okay. We'll edit it.
Yeah. I kept talking because I didn't know if you were still hearing me or not.
So you were saying, why would I hire a run coach?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll just start from that. So yeah. A lot of people might say, well, you're a run coach, so why do you need a run coach? And the reason is because I think personally, everyone needs a coach in some way. Whatever you're doing, you have these pieces, these parts of you that you don't see clearly that other people can see. This is why I can coach someone. They're like, oh, I didn't even think about that. Well, yeah, because I can see certain things that you just can't see. And so I was like, I need that coach. I need someone to kind of look at what pieces might I not be doing as efficiently? What parts could we add in to actually start shaving that time? What mental things are blocking me that I might not be able to see right now? And so that's one of the first things I tell people, like, get a coach. If you want to run your best race, if you want to start a business, if you want to write a book, whatever it is that you want to do, if you've never done it and you're doing it for the first time, having a coach can be super helpful and beneficial.
Yeah, that's awesome. I totally, my whole life I've had a coach in my around me. But let's shift gears a little bit here. Let's talk about boundaries. Why are boundaries important? So let's kind of change it just a little bit and talk to the people that are starting a business. First of all, if you're starting a business, Christian organization, and you, you know, want to glorify the Lord with your talents, your abilities, I just really want to strongly empower you to go for it, man. We need more and more men and women of God out there that are proclaiming the gospel of Jesus in their own kind of way, in your own little corner of the world, whatever that means. And so I just want to encourage you, but out there to just go for it, step out on faith. And there are people out there, if you're hearing this, that can help you and guide you. But what would you say, Gabe, in terms of establishing boundaries? Like people, oh, you need boundaries. You know, like what does that mean to you? And how do you work with clients on identifying a proper boundary?
Yeah, well, I will say I've gotten a lot better at boundaries. So, and because of experience, I used to not have any. and I would say yes to everything. I said yes to multiple roles. So I've always had my hand in the fire in a lot of different places. And when I started my business, I was no different. I said yes to every opportunity because I thought, well, what if I miss out? What if this is the thing that's going to break, you know? But instead, what that did was break me. And I ended up in a couple different burnout seasons. And so that is why boundaries are so important. So when you get started in business, I would say this is one of the first things you want to think about. What am I willing to do? What am I willing to give up? And what am I not, you know, what am I not willing to change? Because if you start out like that, it's easier to hold it. For me, like, let's say, for example, I used to answer email all the time. Like I'd respond in a few hours to people. But when I do that, people expect those faster responses all the time now, instead of being like, well, I respond at 24 hours to 48 hours on business days, right? Yeah. So like having even that boundary, because I was like, oh, I have to, otherwise they're going to wonder what is going on. And so boundaries are huge. And I would say having a boundary for when you're going to work and when you're not going to work, specifically having that day off. Like I'm a huge believer in having a Sabbath day. Now that doesn't have to look exactly like it did in the Old Testament, but like actually having that rest time where you're not focused on work. As an entrepreneur, if you own your business, you think about your business all the time. Like even when you're not working, you're thinking about it. And it's really hard to turn off that switch. And so some of the things that I have set into is when I'm responding to people, this is a tip that I got from recently, because I started like scheduling things like emails and stuff, but you can schedule, I'm in Slack a lot. So you can schedule messages for certain times. You can schedule emails on Gmail too. So like I can respond whenever I want, but I schedule them to be in my quote unquote business hours so that people don't expect me to answer on the weekend. Mm. They don't expect certain things, right? Some people may want to work on the weekends. That's when they can. You have a full-time job and you want to take Saturdays to work. But what are those boundaries? And with boundaries comes balance. Like I know that balance is kind of a taboo word. Nothing is really balanced, right? Like you're going to be working more than you're going to spend time with your family, or you're going to, you know, get less sleep than whatever. But balance to me means peace. It means that wherever I am, I'm present and I have kind of a peace about it. Now, it doesn't mean that I'm not swimming like a duck on water. If you've ever seen a duck, they're like, look so graceful, but they're like paddling under the water. So I look like that most of the time, right? That's what I want it to be. I want to look like that. Like I'm going to be doing the work. I'm going to be working and working hard, but I want that peace. And so I never think that business should take the place of our family. Like whether you're a dad or a mom, or you are taking care of your parents, whatever it is, like we were designed for community. Like, you know, God has created us for community. He created us to take care of each other, and he didn't create us to build a big business and forget about everyone else around us. So if you're spending too much time in work and you're not present, like I've been, like a lot of times I homeschool. So my boys are home all the time. So I had to like, here's kind of a balance. I'm kind of like babbling a little bit here, but a little balance here. My kids are home with me all the time. So I have a lot of mom guilt. Like, oh, I'm not with them 24/7. Well, guess what? My kids are old enough. They don't want me there 24/7. They are good. Yeah. I just need that quality time. Like I just need a little quality time with them so that I am present. So it's like, what are those things what does your family need? What do you need to fill you up? And then planning those boundaries. Like that's with the clients, that's what we do first too. Like we have that big vision, right? Mm-hmm. But then we think about what are your values in this season? What is your capacity in this season?
Yeah.
And what is this season, right?
Right.
I'm in a tough season right now. I'm in a season of teenagers and aging parents. It's the season I've heard is the hardest season of all. And so far, everyone's been right. It is very, very tricky. Great season, wonderful blessings, but like there's a lot going on the back end. But that is important when it comes to business and what you're able to do. What are you able to put out? And that also includes expectations. So what, if you're valuing, what are you valuing? What are your priorities? What's your season? Now we got to shape that to the expectation that you have, because your expectation might be too high. You know, you might need to grow slow. Maybe you're in a season where you don't have a lot going on and you can grow fast and you can do a lot and you can put so much into your business. But if we don't look at that ahead of time, the boundaries and balance isn't going to happen either.
Yeah. I think it's part of the plan the win sort of plan, you know, is okay, this is my season. I just came through the season that you're in right now. So my boys are 19 and 21 years old. They're both off to college. We're empty nesters. My dad passed away a couple years ago. My wife's parents passed away several years ago. It is tough, man. I've actually coined this my kids from 16 to about, well, 15 to about 19. I call it the dumbass zone. You know, they're just doing the dumbest things. In fact, the other day, my oldest came to me and said, "Dad, am I out of the DAZ?" I'm like, "Not quite yet, man." I'm like, you just like, and so, the DAZ is a real thing, and it's, you know, it's something that you hold on for, and you let them fail, and you're there for them as an ambassador is the way I kind of approached it. I always wanted to build trust. And I would say that that's sort of a boundary for me. Like trust is a big deal. Integrity is a big deal, you know? And so if getting into a boundary of, I don't know, like if this doesn't feel trustworthy or it's not an integrity type of situation, you know, we're taking shortcuts or the personalities or whatever, you know, I just tend to walk away. That's been my go-to. Some people are just like, it's just, again, two tenets of a human being, the pursuit of pleasure, the avoidance of pain. They don't want it. They don't want the confrontation. And so sometimes it's just easier to establish your boundary and let people know up front and stay in that lane. That has worked for me. You know, I can be very confrontational. I choose sometimes to be if it warrants, you know, the idea that, you know, we're trying to get to a better place, and what you have established here in our plan to win plan isn't lining up. You told me that we were going to do this, and now you're not committing to this schedule. What's up? Mm-hmm. Like, I think there's a time and a place, right, as a coach, as a mentor, to bring people back. But when it comes to truly glorifying the Lord, we got to stay in our lane, you know, and going outside our lane, being something we're not, this is where the toxic motivators kick in.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the boundaries I've set for myself and I help clients with is focusing on one thing at a time.
Yeah.
Because as an entrepreneur, we have all these ideas all the time and they're all great ideas. Like, yes, a lot of them can succeed. But when we're double-minded, when we're focused on too many things, nothing gets done, or we get overwhelmed, or we don't sit in our boundaries. And so that's been a huge thing is, yes, you can have multiple goals, but we're focused on one thing at a time. And that one thing might be different categories. So maybe I'm focused on something in my health, and I'm focused on something in my business, and I'm focused on something with my relationships, right? But that focus, you can go so much further with that than trying to be all for everybody.
Yeah. I've even talked over the years about quality focus and cheap focus, right? And staying quality focus. And if I'm going to do cheap focus, you know, we see it all the time now, you know, just in our walk, you know, people are on their phones and, you know, they're walking and not paying attention. You know, I actually read an article where there is a street in Italy where they had to put up a wall because the street they were walking on, so many people were on their phones and they didn't know that the street ended and the people were falling into the water.
Oh my gosh. Of course they were.
Oh my gosh. And so like this, like if I know, not every day is not great, but like if I know that this is going to be a situation where I'm going to have some cheap focus, then I just say, you know what? I need to reschedule this, or I need some time before we get into this. That's being a better example of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's okay to say no. It's okay to be like, okay, I don't have the capacity for this. Like,
right.
You know, we're human and that's all we are. Right. Like,
yeah.
So I think that's okay to have those boundaries too. When am I going to push through and do everything that I said I was going to do? And when do I need to come back? Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's powerful. When you talk about getting unstuck, what are people stuck on? Like, what's normally what you see?
One of the things I see is stuck on too many things. So trying to achieve too much at once, that can be one thing. Or their vision is just too big. So I love dreaming big all day long. Like, I'm like, get a big vision. But if that's all you see, you're going to be stuck. Because it's really hard to set into motion what's going to help you achieve your big vision without breaking it down into like real life and breaking it down to being easily manageable and doable. So I think that's one of the biggest things, but then also decisions, like decision fatigue is real, but being stuck because they can't move forward until they make the right decision. And I will say no decision is really a wrong decision unless it's life threatening or you're going to hurt someone else or whatever. But like, for the most part, we can't thwart God's plans. We just can't. We're not powerful enough to. He will fulfill his plans with or without us. And if we make a decision that maybe wasn't the right one, maybe it'll take us a little longer to get there, or we'll have a consequence or whatnot. But for the most part, he's just going to help guide the path and get us back on the right one. But when it comes to starting a business, where it's like, what platform should I use? Should I do podcasting or YouTube? You know, like those kinds of decisions, you can't really make a wrong one. You just got to make one and run with it and run with it until, and I say until he pivots you. So for example, in my own business, the gurus, everyone said, you got to be on social media. You got to do this thing. Like, if you're going to be on an online business, you have to be an influencer. You have to post multiple times a day and you have to like and comment and do all the things, because that's what's going to grow your business. Well, I got into business probably when it was on the edge of that not really going to work anymore or not work for what I'm doing. Right. And so all I heard was crickets, but I spent hours and hours and hours a week doing it. And I was so frustrated because I already didn't like the social media world, because I wasn't seeing the things I wanted to see. Like, I just wanted to connect and I wasn't connecting. And so when God in January 2023, I felt this nudge that was like, get off. I never told you how to be there. And I was like, but if I get off of social media, I have no marketing network. How am I going to grow? And God's like, watch me. He's like, why are you doing it like everyone, like the world, like everyone else? I told you to do it differently. So I got off social media for life and business, because I was just sick of it. I was like, I'm just going to take some time off. I'm just going to take a fast. Not a big deal. I'll come back if I want to. I hadn't gone back yet, but my podcast, which I was trying to grow so much in like 3 years, grew 400% in just that month of getting off of social media.
Wow.
Yeah. And I equate it to being obedient. It's not because if you get off social media, your thing's going to grow. That's not it at all. But God told me to get off and I got off and I was obedient and he blessed that. And he said, watch me. See, it can work. You can do other things. There's other marketing strategies that are going to work better for you. Like maybe, you know, another influencer, social media is going to work. We need people. We need Christians in social media. I mean, like, come on, not everyone should be getting off of social media, but that wasn't where it was going to work for me. And I, that was a huge lesson. Of like, okay, when he tells you to do something, even if it seems countercultural, even if it seems like it's not going to work, do it, because the obedience is what matters.
That's so powerful. That's so good. Thank you for that. What's next for Gabe? What's the next big challenge for Gabe?
Well, okay. So I'm getting into a season of less. I don't know. My season's slowing. I'm no longer working for a client I've worked for years, which was like 20 to 30 hours a week on top of what I was already doing. And at first I was like, what am I going to do? You know, I got to go run and find new clients. I got to, you know, that scarcity mentality, that mentality of how are we going to make it, right? And God was kind of like, do you have to? Like, do you have to? And I said, well, I feel like I have to, because I've always been like, I've been a breadwinner for a long time. I've always had so many roles and all the things. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if I could do it. Mm. And he's called me to, we'll call it quote unquote freedom in a way, like slowing down and looking at what that next right thing is for my business. And this summer, I think it's writing my third book. I have Come a trilogy. On. Yeah. And awesome. I've been saying I'm going to do it forever, but I've said I might actually be able to. And my next thing is not saying yes to things. So what's funny, here's an opportunity thing. So I find out I'm losing my biggest client, which is really sad. But we're parting on good terms. It's not anything bad.
Yeah.
And then just this morning, I get an email from someone who I've said, I work for you. Like, I love your team. I love all this stuff. And they're hiring.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, well, is this God? Like, is it him putting, because I just made a decision that I'm saying no to adding any clients until at least after summer. And I thought that was God. And then this happened and I was like, well, funny story, throughout the day, just thinking and praying about it, I'm like, no, it's a distraction. It's a distraction from where God is calling me to.
Yeah.
So discerning that has been huge. So I'm not exactly sure what's next, but I do think the third book is coming. So I'm super excited about that.
Yeah. You know, when you were talking about the Boston Marathon, every 2 years, I do something that I totally have nothing, I shouldn't be doing. Like, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go and I'm just going to try something. Like, so 2 years ago, my first, it was like, you know what? I kind of like guns and I'm an okay shot, but I'm like, I want to learn how to be a sniper.
I'm
like, all right. So I went out to this range and I'm like, okay, I want to learn how to shoot a gun at 1,000 yards. And he's like, we have this sniper class and here's the gun you need to buy. And here's how much you need to practice. And here's, you know, you got to learn all this stuff. And man, it created so many more neural pathways for me, Gabe. And it's such an awesome experience, you know? And so just the learning something new and doing something hard. So yeah. I was on a podcast like this and I learned how to do that. And now I can shoot a gun at 1,000 yards. So that's fun. And so this December I was on a podcast like this and the guest said, hey, we're going to do 75 hard. And I was like, I don't even care what that is, man. I'm doing it. He's like, you don't want to know the details? No, sign me up. So I need it. And so I'm like 70 days into 75 hard right now. It's been odd. You know about 75 hard?
I do. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been doing it, man. It's awesome.
I haven't done it yet. Maybe I should do that. I don't know.
Yeah. There's well, 75. You know what? Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, like what you're talking about. One of the things that I decided I'm going to do, because I'm like, I need a challenge. I don't know what I'm going to do with my free time. My middle son does parkour. If you know what parkour is.
Yeah, I do.
And I've been talking to his one of his coaches, who's a woman. And I was like, I really got to try the speed parkour. Like, I got to come train with you. She's like, okay, let's do it. So I think I'm going to train and I'm going to compete in the masters division next year.
Come on. There you go. That's awesome.
That'll be hard.
That'll be hard. Yeah.
So maybe incredible. I should do the 75 hard for training.
you could. It's been awesome, man. I love the flexibility of it, but I also like the hardness of everything you have to do with it. It's been awesome. I think I'm going to continue after. And I'm going to amp it up with, it's not part of the training, but I think I'm going to amp it up with a cold bath, 2 or 3 times a week, a cold plunge. So that's hard. That's a mental.
I can't do that. Nope. Yeah. I've talked about it. No. Everyone's like, it's so good for runners. I'm like, I might put my feet in a cold bath.
All right. As we power down the podcast today, you've been awesome. Thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it. I just really want to encourage those that are out there that are listening to try something hard, right, Gabe? Like, go after it, man. Do something you don't think you can do and challenge yourself. Create those new neural pathways. I think it's going to, you know, help. I know actually, because, you know, this is my 25th year of growing a Christian ad agency. And I just know that creating those new neural pathways helps you with your faith and standing firm and just really understanding your boundaries, your mental blocks, and, you know, and really identifying the adversary, knowing what's across the table from you. And that's where I love these toxic motivators. But I'll give you the last word as we power down. Any words of wisdom for those that are listening?
Well, I think one of the things people always, like my clients are always like, how do I know what's the right way? Or how do I do this? Or how do you know, make decisions and things. And one of the things when it comes to the refiner's fire, it's about renewing your mind as well. And so my business verse is Romans 12:2, I believe it is. I'm not very good with where they're located, but do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. And that's what he wants for us in business and in life. And it's no longer conforming to the pattern of the world. It's okay to do things differently. It's okay to step out in a different way. It's okay to do the hard, because the world's going to say, no, let it be easy, but it doesn't need to be, it can be hard. So I think that would be my biggest encouragement for you all as you're listening, is just to be willing to do it differently, to be willing to do it in a way that works for you, in a way that you'll enjoy even when it's hard. Right. Yeah. But to renew your mind every day by getting in the word with the Lord, because he's the one who's going to direct your steps. That's, I always say he's my algorithm. God is my algorithm.
So good. And if we want to get a hold of you somehow, we talked about a free workshop that you're putting on or you have out there.
Yeah. So best place to find me is on my website, redhotmindset.com. If you go to redhotmindset.com/goals, I have a free workshop. And in that workshop, I really help you break down that, well, one, get that big vision, right? Like, so have that big vision, but let's break it down and work backward. And so that you can make that goal really doable for you in the season you're in with the capacity that you have. And I like to block them into 90-day runs, so 90-day goals. And so you'll get a lot out of that workshop. Just my pattern is see it, plan it, do it. Simple, because that's the only way I do things.
That's awesome. Thank you again for being a guest on the podcast. We appreciate you.
Thanks for having me. This has been fun.
Yeah.